Find your why. Find your purpose. Find the reason you find the reason that makes you tick. Because once you find that, you will never ever work again.
Welcome everyone to this episode of The Grow Show. Hey folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to The Grow Show, and The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, we do this by talking to really cool people and listen to their journeys and lessons that they've learned along the way. Now, today, I have got Dominic Fenton from DF Sports and Events. Now, Dominic is really passionate about getting people active. He's really passionate about helping people with well-being, their mindset. And do you know what? I've spoken to him probably a handful of times, and his energy, his kind of personality, and his motivation is just infectious. I love it. So I can't wait to talk to Dominic. We've been organizing this interview for about 2 months now. It seems like 2 months anyway. Dominic, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Gary. Thank you for having me on here. I'm really excited about talking to you and sharing what I do.
No, I love it. I love it. So, for the people who don't know what DF Sports and Events do, or Dominic, the person, is passionate about, tell us about you. Tell us about your company. What are you up to?
Oh, where do I start? So, DF Sports and Events was created just over 18 months ago, around November 2018. And what I do, I'm an international sports consultant. So with that, I generally work with schools and charities to work with children and young people to keep them on the right track through sport and activity. As a consultant, I can predominantly work with whoever I want, which is great. So I have that choice about who I work with. I support talks around gangs and knife crime and county lines. I'm a big advocate for mental health awareness. I work for a sports charity running sports events for disabled children all over the UK. And I'm tour around the world running rugby projects as well. So just a few little bits.
Just a few. Just a teeny weeny amount.
Just a little bit.
So you're a busy, busy man.
Yeah, I was before COVID, but yeah, we're building up again. We're building up again, so it's all good.
Aces. So I'm really interested about your journey and how you got into it. So were you always into sports and fitness, or was there a turning point which made you kind of go, okay, I need to go into this now?
I was always involved in sport. So at the age of five, I started playing rugby. My brothers played rugby. And I had a coach at the time who just came over, and I was 5 years old, and he went, why don't you come and join in? And it was as simple as that. I was a child that would, it took me a long time to make sure I was going every week, because I was one of those children that you'd join in, and then you'd go and stand on the sideline and cry because it was something different. And it took me a few weeks with that, with rugby. I had swimming, you know, I was swimming as a child. And again, one story, my mum took me to swimming lessons right at the beginning. As soon as she left me at poolside and she went round to the viewing gallery, I'd run back into the changing rooms. She'd come out again, walk me to the pool, she'd go back in. So it always took me a while to get into it. But once I got involved in sport, I was skiing. You know, I was in a small primary school. I played chess. I played hockey. So, yeah, life's pretty much been around sport, if I'm honest.
Okay. And I'm guessing what kind of drove you to it? Was it kind of self-development, kind of you pushing yourself? Or was it the team element? Because a lot of that kind of stuff you said, what started off as team, but actually chess, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's very insular.
Yeah, I think... As a child, I loved being part of something. I loved connecting with people. From a you know, from a family where I've got two older brothers, I was always quite a social child anyway. I do Cubs, I do all these other bits. I only went to Cubs to play football, and that was it. And
that sport's coming through again.
Yeah, I joined for a little bit, and that was just to play in goal for the Cubs. But yeah, I just enjoy being. I found rugby very early. I feel I was very fortunate because actually it's impacted the whole of my life and given me where I am today, really. But yeah, it's very much around friendships, being part of something, and just having fun with your friends.
Do you know what? In the day of this age, that's so important.
Yeah.
So important, you know, because the communities that we make at different points in time, they influence us, not just in that then, but in the future time. You know, that I know we spoke off air about identity and that communities and what you do at different ages and different stages of your development makes a massive difference.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has done. And, you know, literally I've been involved in rugby up until now even, you know, and I now work in rugby, I now work in other sports. There was a local press release this week, the weekend just gone, and I'm on the back cover for something that happened 2 years ago. So it was that was a bizarre one because I launched a project 2 years ago. And for some reason it was on the back cover of the local press this weekend. But rugby's been a part of my life ever since five. So.
Mm-hmm. So was there ever a point when you weren't passionate about sports? Well, since that point.
I wouldn't say not passionate. I think you, as a child, when you play a lot, you have your moments where you've done it for so long. And we see this with a lot of children and young people now. You know, I've coached since I was 18, so I've worked with a lot of young people all over the last 25 years, you know. And there'll be a lot of times where children may get 13, 14, and they're like, oh, can I be bothered to carry on? Other things come into it. When you get older, you then suddenly you're socialising more. And actually what it, I think for me, I used rugby in a number of different ways. I was very fortunate that I never got to that point, but I used rugby to help me get through stuff at school. So, you know, it's been a major part of me. And I found something that I was reasonably good at. You know, started playing first team rugby at 17, 18. You realise you're reasonably good at it. You want to carry on, and you know, you then find your drinking, you then find you're playing your sport, you find your friends even more so. So yeah, sport's always been, you know, I've worked in other jobs, sport was always there as a hobby. And then at some point you decide that my passion is playing sport and trying to get more young people playing sport. And you want to do that as a career, and that's where I am now, you know.
So it sounds really straightforward. You loved sports as a kid. You carried on loving sports as a teenager, which then you carried on playing throughout kind of university. Mm. And then you started working in sports. So you followed your passion. Is it that simple? Are we missing something here? Or is it literally that simple?
There's been a lot of trials and tribulations. When I was at secondary school, I was getting bullied. So I was in a bad way about 14, didn't want to be here. And literally everything that supported me about getting through that was playing my sport, because it was a contact sport. If you were getting angry rather than fighting at school, I could be aggressive on the rugby field. And I could use that on the rugby field in a legal way, in a way that I can get my frustrations out and everything else. And I just think, actually, it's like a lot of other activities, that if you're into something where you can use your aggression, you're frustrated, you've got anger, and you can get it out in a positive way, which I think a lot of people need now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it was a really important stamp, you know, a really important part. I was in insurance for a number of years. had a few things go on in insurance, and got to the point of about 2002, 2003 when England won the Rugby World Cup. And actually, that was almost the point of me going, well, actually, I want to be working in schools now. I want to inspire more kids. Mm-hmm. And I ended up becoming a full-time rugby coach. So, you know, and actually from there, yeah, pretty much I've been involved in sport paid-wise mm-hmm. for probably about 16 out of those 18 years.
Yeah.
So I feel very, you know, I do feel very fortunate about where I'm at and how we got there.
Brilliant. And thank you for sharing. You know, it can't be easy. So thank you for sharing. During those 6 to 18 years, how have you seen kind of the industry change? Have you seen more people get into it, less people kind of testing stuff out? Yeah, or has it not changed?
I'd love to say it's changed a lot. I think people, or certainly children and young people, now realise you can make a career in sport, where probably at the beginning it was very, well, you can do it as a hobby. But if you imagine the, you know, an international sports squad or a professional squad, there are so many roles, just not the playing of the game.
Yeah.
So actually, if you want to go down the route of being a chef, well, actually, a lot of professional clubs and international teams now have their own chefs. Mm-hmm. Or you want to be a physio, you can travel with the teams. Yep. So from the industry's changed that way. I think from an education point of view, I think the hardest bit is that they ended up bringing in non-competitive sports days.
Okay.
And I think actually, just naturally, we're competitive. You know, children are competitive in numeracy and literacy and sort of exams. And actually, all we suddenly did was get rid of non-competitive sports days. Well, you know, that, I think for me, there's that balance. But I certainly don't like knocking that competitive edge out of kids or taking that opportunity out for them, because if they're not good academically, the one thing they need is either, it might be their sport they need, it might be music, it might be drama, it might all of these other creative activities. Mm. Actually, I think there's, you know, if you're not academic, and I wasn't overly academic, but luckily I found what I'm good at.
Yeah.
You can create the best version of you in terms of what you do, you know, and you can find your passion in one of those other areas. So I think, you know, I think we've still got a way to go. There's been more money invested in PE and sport nationally and globally. But yeah, I still think it will change in the next 10 years again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because some industries do change beyond recognition. And when you said about kind of the different roles being introduced in it, I can see it. I can really see it, because people have understood that if you kind of look at a particular area of life, yeah, let's say sports, and you're managing or directing a team, then you only know so much. And as business owners, we all know this. We're only good at what we're good at. And there's lots of stuff that we can try to become better at and improve ourselves, but we're never going to be as good as someone who's an expert in that field. So that's when we get them in. That's when we outsource and we get them in. Yeah. And that's what sports companies have done over the last, 20 odd years or so. And I'm an avid fan of cycling. And cycling 20 years ago compared to it is now is a whole different beast. Same two wheels, same one rider, but the whole of it is completely different. And I've seen that kind of transition move into high, you know, rugby, football, the Olympics, loads of different places.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, I think people, there's a lot more money from sponsors being invested in sport. You know, you mentioned cycling, cycling are very much the real small measures, and they're split seconds and everything else. So the way they've changed the bikes, the way they've moved things more sort of aerodynamic and such in terms of just trying to get those split seconds. Sports becoming a big business. You know, they talk about wages for footballers. You know, you're such a minute percent of footballers get to that point, but actually it's not necessarily the footballer's issue around the salaries and everything else. It's a global market. You know, it's a global market, and it's one of those bits where you go, well, actually, the amount of sponsorship money, the amount of all this other money being invested, they're going to be paid well.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be paid well. So, you know, there's always that argument, you know, being a rugby player, there's always been that argument between rugby and football. There isn't an argument. They're two very, very different sports.
Yeah.
You know, and it is what it is. You know, I just went the rugby route. Could have gone the football route, but I went the rugby route.
Fair play. And the thing is, I'm sure if you weren't passionate about it and you didn't enjoy it, you would have done a couple of sessions in rugby or a year or two in rugby and then decided, actually, you know what? Now I've got the choice. Now I've kind of experienced it. I like it. I'm going to go to something else. You could have done that because you've experienced it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think as adults, our biggest role, when we've got children, you know, whatever age they're at, I think certently from a parent's point of view, you know, I've got two daughters who are 9 and 8, and actually I want them to experience things. I want them to try different activities because for me, they will find what they want to do. But they need to be given that opportunity. We can't force as a parent. I'd certainly never force them one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But it's very much about, well, here's the opportunity. Let's try lots of different things. You know, from a parent point of view, actually, the money's a difficult part because generally, what you'll have it. Your child will go and play maybe 3 weeks. You'll spend money out on kit and everything else, and then they'll go, we don't want to play anymore. So, you know, as a parent, you've probably spent however much amount of money. And for me, that's something that we need to look at whether it's Sport England, whether it's the national governing bodies of sport, whether it's the clubs, we need to look at something where we can go, well, okay, let's have a look. Because otherwise what will happen, that the parents won't be able to keep affording to send children to these clubs.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
And for me, that's the big part, and that's something we need to be looking at nationally. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the answer is yet, but that's something I'm working on at the moment.
To be fair, I love that idea because you're right. You've only got an infinite amount of money, mm-hmm. but a child's kind of ability to learn and experience different things, that's not limited. They can do something different every day if they wanted to. That's not the stopping force. The stopping force is actually having the funds to be able to do it. I haven't got the answer either, but I love about these kind of interviews and these chats is that you're able to kind of throw it out there and just to say, you know what, this is what needs to be done, or this is the big idea. So I think actually going forward, that could be a good way to do it. That's a really nice kind of segue to my next question. You spoke about parents and what they can do to kind of encourage their kids. Yeah. How about business owners? You know, business owners are very insular people sometimes. What can they kind of learn from sports and the teams and your experiences that could help drive them?
I think we've touched on it already. And I think there's this element of, you know, as small business owners, we're all very independent and we're all very much on our own. Certainly the biggest thing for me is being part of something, being part of a network, being part of a group, because there's that common ground and there's that common goal. When you've got that vision and you know what that goal is, people will start buying into it. You know, and I think that's the really important bit is actually if you're clear with what your vision is, clear with the goals that you want to set, whether that's 6 months, whether that's 3 months, whether that's a year, 5 years, whatever you're looking at, once you can start communicating those effectively and people understand them, mm-hmm. people will start buying into you. And what you'll then find is people have got the same goals. You know, what I talk about a lot is how we can make a bigger impact to children and young people in schools. And as a business, what can we do together to make a bigger impact? So that's not me working in isolation. That's me saying, well, actually, why don't we, as maybe two or three businesses, we've got the same vision of inspiring children or inspiring mm-hmm. teachers or parents or that whole community. Let's work together to make that happen, because you can get a lot further in partnership and collaboration than you can in on your own. And, you know, I love competition, love looking at what other people do, but I use it in a positive way. And actually say, look, let's have an open conversation. Is there things we can work together on? As you say, you know, if you're struggling in an area and you're part of a common goal or part of a community, if you ask for help, people will come to you.
Yeah.
You know, people will come to you. You've also got to give back. You know, I think that's an important part. It's not the whole part of it, but I think actually, as long as you're keen to look back and support back and put back, then actually people will be more open to you.
I love it. And there's two things that kind of spring to mind when you talk about that. And one of them is, there's a book called The One Big Thing. Now, I can't remember who wrote it. I think it's Mark Kepler. I might have got that wrong. But The One Big Thing basically describes, you know, you know what you want to achieve. Or you know what area you want to do, so you work purely in that area. And anything that doesn't kind of anything that deviates you away from that area, you get rid of. It's a very kind of singular kind of thing, but it's a way of kind of shifting way through. And in the book, it says one question, and that is: if you're going to do one thing today that makes everything else non-existent or non-relevant, what would it be? And when you're talking about sports, well-being, everything like that, all I'm seeing and hearing is one key message that you're promoting. And it's so refreshing. It's so refreshing. And you're dead right. The four most important words that anyone can learn is, I need your help.
Yeah.
And people will be able to come to it. Two things that popped into mind. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And I just think we're not very good at asking for help. We don't want to admit, you know, we need to be ourselves. I think sometimes we try and be other people.
Yeah.
I'm now at that point, and it's taken me a while to get here. I'm proud of who I am. I've asked for forgiveness. You know, I've sort of tried to forgive myself about certain things that have happened in the past, and how I've reacted to things. And actually, I'm proud of who I am, and I'm proud of where I've got to. So actually, I've got no problem being me. Because actually, if I'm happy being me, I can then, you know, I'd like to think I portray that to other people. You know, and the one thing I talk about a lot is, I want to inspire one person every day. Whether that's a conversation like this, whether that's a phone call, you know, I like to reach out to people who may be struggling in my network. And, you know, when I reach, I offer to reach out, not because from that side of it, I reach out because actually I can help people.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a friendly ear. We all need people around us. We all need that connection. We all need to feel part of something, especially in these days when we're quite isolated and things anyway.
Yeah.
I live on my own half the week. So actually being connected to other people, whether that's online or now and again, face-to-face in meetings and bits. I need that connection with people.
Yeah, makes complete sense. And actually, when you start talking to people and when you start hearing people's stories and lessons that they've learned, it puts everything into perspective, because actually, you know, someone listening could be going through the same bit as you experienced, but 20 years ago. And actually, what you said about kind of being in insurance and then not wanting, and then going for the kind of the rugby license to be a coach, was it? Yeah. If I remember rightly.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be so many people who are going to be going, crap, actually, I've been saying that for 5 years, but I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
But I've always loved rugby. I want to do it.
So
that's why I love having these chats.
I think if you're passionate about something, there's nothing better than doing it as a job or doing it as a business. Because do I feel I work? No. Do I feel like, you know, I had a meeting this morning and I was talking about going, well, actually, I feel privileged in terms of what I do and the number of children and young people I work with and adults I work with as well in different fields. Do I feel I should be here doing talking to you and doing these meetings? Not necessarily, because it's me, you know, and I'm very much, why do people want to hear my story? You know, and that's, for me, that's something I deal with every day. But I can now look at myself and go, you know what, you're doing the right thing. You are inspiring people. And that's not me saying it, it's other people telling me. I struggle when people give me positive feedback. I don't like that. Yeah. You know, I'm like, really? And I think that's that bit of posturing. Is it imposter syndrome?
Yeah, it is.
Why are you telling me I'm this? Or why are you, you know, it's what it is. You know, it makes me feel uncomfortable, but I like feeling uncomfortable. Because I think if you're uncomfortable, you're going to grow.
Do you know what? World has made everything so much.
Put yourself out of your comfort zone. If you want to go and do your own business, let's go and do your business. If you want to stand in front of 1,000 people and talk, make it happen. You know, because I tell you what, the other side of it, you know, I did a skydive 2 years ago. Can't stand hot. I'm scared of heights. I feel uncomfortable with heights. But then I go and jump out of an aeroplane at 10,000 feet on a tandem skydive. You know, but that was for charity. You know, I want to do another one next year as well for charity. Yeah. If I'm giving back to other people, let's go and make it happen. If someone picks up on the story and goes, yeah, let's do it, let's go and do it.
I love it. I had probably about 6 years ago, I thought to myself, do you know what? Let's just see how far I can kind of take what I was doing at that time, which was kind of an online networking event on Twitter, and see how much I can promote it. And I thought, do you know what? One bit I could do is reach out to a local radio station to see if I could become a guest on one of their shows. Wasn't expecting anything from me because I was Gary from Leamington. I was tiny in terms of business. I didn't have a business. I was still working for someone. I was just doing this on the side. Ended up getting the radio show from it. Therefore, ended up starting podcasting. 3 years later, I then started my own business, helping people tell their stories through social media. Now, I'm helping people tell their stories through podcasting, live streaming, video. And guess what? It's not about me. It's about them. It's about their story. It's about how they communicate. And there's nothing better than kind of seeing Light Grow Live, which happened a couple of weeks ago, which again, big hairy ass goal, which I never thought would happen. It did. It's into an annual event. But again, not about me. It's about the speakers. It's about the people who attend. And guess what the main bit was about Grow Live? It was all about them telling their stories. I found what I'm passionate about. You found what you're passionate about. Before we kind of finish it all off, how do people find what they're passionate about? Yeah, it's a simple question, but not a simple answer.
I think it can take a while. I think, and for me, that's why children, young people have to try different things. Because actually, if they're not trying different things, how are you going to know if you don't like it or you do like it? And I think if you get to that point, it's just about making it happen. You know, I love what I do. Hang on, let me just quickly.
It's all right, no worries.
Always the way in it. There you go. I just think you need to find out what your why is. If you find out, you know, my purpose is to inspire as many children, young people as I can, inspire one person every day. That's what I do. You know, I want to be that person that I necessarily didn't have when I was a kid. You know, I want to be able to look out for those or that child or that person or that individual there. And I think once you work out what your why is, things can become very simple. But I just think, let's give people as much opportunity as we can to try different things. I think actually, and school has a massive part in that. In terms of trying different subjects and trying different lessons, before, you know, I'm very much about the creative side of it. So the fact is that, yes, you've got exams on, you know, you've got your English and your maths and your numeracy literacy in primary schools and everything else. What I'm about is actually what else can children do? If you're not academic, what else can we find they're good at? You know, because that's the thing. I wasn't academic. All I found was sport. I did my drama. I was singing. I loved all of that side of it. And I just think the more things you have a go at, you'll suddenly find what your purpose is and what your passion is. And you can wake up suddenly, you know, you might wake up one day and go, you know what? I know what I want to do. And what a day that is.
Wow.
What a moment that is.
Wow. And I hope everybody who's listening to this finds their moment and experiences those different bits.
Yeah.
We've been talking for about half hour. It's gone really dead quickly, which I knew it would. So there's two things I've got to ask you before we close this interview. Number one, if you're going to share one thing, your one big takeaway point for the people who are watching and listening to this, what would it be?
Oh, one big thing. Probably what we've just said. Find your why. Find your purpose. Find the reason that makes you tick. Because once you find that, you will never ever work again. I think it's my, some of the things like that are mind blowing. I absolutely love it.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And do you know what? I think you're dead right. And that actually sums up the whole of the interview. It really does. Now, if people want to find more information about DF Sports and Events and Dominic Benson himself, how can they? I think have you got a website on socials?
I've got a website.
For our links.
Yeah, I've got a website. We're currently working on that. We're doing a little bit more work in the background on that. But that'll be www.dfsportsandevents.co.uk. You've got my Twitter account on here, which is events_DF. And then my Instagram account, which is DF Sports and Events as well. On Facebook under DF Sports Events as well. They're the best places. I've got stuff all over social.
Aces. Now, I don't want this to be an end of the conversation, so I urge everyone who's watching, listening, connect with Dominic, connect with him on socials, and let's put a date and diary off air to have another chat, because, yeah, I loved it. Thank you so much for your time today. That was brilliant.
No problem. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. It's been great.
Cheers, folks. See you later. Thank you so much for listening to The Grow Show. Now, if you haven't already, please check us out on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, if you haven't already checked us out on YouTube, please do. You'll find all the latest episodes on Grow Marketing Media's YouTube channel. But also, if you search The Grow Show, you'll find Grow Radio, which is our brand new kick-ass YouTube platform where we are going to have all of the episodes right back from episode one. So you can watch and learn from the best and from previous episodes of The Grow Show. So take care, everyone, and I'll see you all next time for the next edition of The Grow Show. Take care.